Guns in the 701.com. Mike's here and Jamie's here. And Jamie, how you doing?
Doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to do the clay thing and do multiple things at once. It's not always easy, but I haven't seen Rumble. I haven't popped up on Rumble yet. So I'm wondering if I hit the buttons right on that one. So I'm kind of hoping I did. But I know we're on the YouTube. I know we're on Twitch, as a matter of fact, as well. Gunsinthe701.com. We're on Fascist Book and also over on X as well, Twitter. So, yeah, we've got Gunsinthe701.com brought to you by Lawler Auto Repair, 309 South Washington Street. And we've got our friend Axel there that will take care of you with any vehicle needs that you you can think of. Plus, we've got our other great sponsors as well. Matter of fact, we want to talk about Bloodline real quick, Bloodline Kinetics. We're going to talk about them in just a second because you've got some announcements for that one. And plus, we've got our other great sponsors as well, as we're talking about Mandam Sporting Goods. And they've got the new location opening up soon as well. So we're looking forward to that. Is that going to be on the weekend of the 25th? Is that when he's opening that up?
That's going to be June 1st is when Brandon's open. It's going to be the grand opening. New location, 206 4th Avenue Northwest, two blocks north of Runnings, right off of Main Street there.
Right, nice big build.
We are, and Mike, we are live on Rumble. It's just, there it is right there. It was Mitchell in the Morning thing was on there. It was on, there we are again. It's on there, but the KFYR 550 Mitchell in the Morning picture was on there. So I don't know what's, I'm definitely not good at navigating on Rumble. So
that's all right. But, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So what Mike D was talking about with Bloodline, Jake sent me a message today. I'm going down there tomorrow.
Right.
Talk to him. I'm going to pick up some cards there he's got for service. One free barrel threading job to include the thread protector and one thread adapter for specific caliber and barrel diameter. Not refundable for cash or other offers, at $100 to $150 value. I'm not sure how many of these he's going to give, Mike, but like I said, I'm going to make sure you guys get one and I get one. And I think I'm going to do some sort of trivia thing for that. I'm not sure if it's going to be tomorrow or the next show, but and whenever you guys maybe want to do it. But yeah, we're going to get some of those cards. And so you guys get your thinking cap. And I'm going to make it, I told Mikey D, that I'm going to make it something in my own head I'm going to come up with so nobody can get on the search engine and find the answer right away. I'm going to make it a little difficult at least. So
Saying that nobody can decipher what's in your head?
Like, you know, a lot of people probably don't want to get in there anyways.
That's all right. It's a dark and spooky place.
Whatever you guys want to do with yours, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm going to do that for sure, but that's just right off the top, because that's a great deal, man. You get a free barrel threading plus a thread protector, and that's going to be awesome. So,
and it's just amazing some of the stuff that they can do up at Bloodline Kinetics as well. As I've got a bunch of stuff that I'm looking at right now where I'm like, well, even they got guns.com has got a good special right now on those Kel-Tec 17s. And I kind of want one of those. I don't really have I've got revolvers for carry right now, except for my 1911. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, getting a little 22 for a carry, and I kind of like those Kel-Tecs anyway because they're durable. But you know, I was going to check up with some of the guys up at Mandam and all that and see what they had any deals on it too. But yeah, I always thought about that. It was like, you know, it'd be nice to have that threaded too, so I could, you know, put a suppressor on that. That'd be pretty sweet. So anything to save your hearing in the long range. I'll tell you what, I wrecked my bike yesterday, and I'm a little bruised up today. And thank God I wear a helmet, because I got a small
pedal or motor.
No, motorcycle.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pulling out of my driveway and screwed up completely. And apparently I'm just getting old. Anyway, banged my head on the ground pretty hard. So, you know, I probably have a small concussion, but in my life, you know, I'm probably like one of those old football players that's got the CTE going on in the head left and right. But yeah. So, we got a lot of stuff going on, and you know, our great sponsors, of course, helping us out here tonight as well. And, we're also got a badass of the week we're going to bring up later on in the show. But to start everything off, I want to talk about a guy in Brooklyn. Now, we talked about him, over the last couple of months. They arrested him because, well, somebody must have turned him in is what it is. But Dexter Taylor, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Monday
Ridiculous.
Convicted by a jury in April on a slew of firearm charges. Now, the Brooklyn DA, Eric Gonzalez, says that 53-year-old Taylor ordered a number of, and we got to start getting some sort of graphic for quotes, ghost guns.
Right. So that would come across the screen.
Yeah. Kits, on, you know, he ordered like $40,000 worth of different stuff from, I think he was basically trying to start a business. And of course, that's the thing. He had fabricators and different other things and he was doing. And of course the 3D printers and all that. Oh, they hate the 3D printers, but this is one of my favorites. He also had a dreaded amount. He had 4 rifles, 5 handguns, and 50 rounds of ammo.
That ain't even a good start.
And I'm thinking, I think I got 50 rounds of ammo in my car, but, you know, it's just probably laying around in the seats for the most part from the last time I was shooting. But it baffles me, the scare tactics that they throw on people. I mean, if you buy a brick of 22s, you know, of 500, you're looking at, you know, boy, I might be in jail forever. I mean, that might be a life sentence for me if I ever went through New York. I mean, they probably think I was they probably mark it down as I was trying to distribute or something. But yeah, so this guy is being ramrod is what he is. But I'm hoping that once this goes around to hopefully higher courts, that they will try to get him some alleviation on this. But yeah, this is the picture from the press conference from the mayor, Honacle or whatever her name is.
Honacle,
there.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah. She looks like a skeleton or something's wrong with her. Indiana Jones character.
But you see the down below, the new gun safety laws taking effect. Oh, because you know what? This guy, you're really stopping somebody. He's a hobbyist who is creating.
No criminal record, by the way. No criminal record at all.
No criminal record, but yeah, the mayor standing behind her of New York, even though it didn't happen in New York, it was Brunswick or something in one of the other towns. Yep. But of course, he's got to get his face in there while he's there because, you know, they're all serious on crime, unless it's crime they commit.
Because the guy's he's admitted Republican too. I think he's a professor at some college too, right?
Yeah,
right,
something Mike? Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, he's basically, and I did say that. Of course, they throw in the assault rifle thing in there, but, you know, really, it's just AR. He had 4 AR-style rifles, 5 handguns, 4 rifles, 50 rounds of ammo. Oh, and here's the real bad thing is it was an unlocked safe in his closet. Oh. So, obviously, you know, he's hiding this stuff. And I'm like, well, where else do you put it? I mean, do you put it next to your refrigerator? Well, I mean, well, I've been to Clay's place. It could be. But... But according to the evidence presented during the trial, Taylor spent $40,000 to get the, and we got to do it again, I got to find the ghost guns, parts and tools. He did not have a gun license. Of course, would that make the difference right there? If he had the money to, I mean, if he wants to start his business or doing whatever, or even if he's doing this as a hobby for himself to create stuff for himself, as long as he had a license and kisses the king's ring, I mean, is he okay? Would that go away? Could he do that now? Could he just go ahead and get his lawyer to go and pick him up a license? Would he be fine?
You know what's ridiculous? How many stories have we had over the year here, last 2 years, even before you guys got on board? These guys committing crimes in these states like New York, numerous felony possession of a gun 3-4 times. They're not in jail, and they're going to put this guy in prison for 10 years with no record because he was making his own guns.
Yep.
Well, I mean everything's it's like everything else now, upside down is right side up and forward is backwards, and everything's wrong. Going wrong.
And I bet you they're in a turmoil too, because he is a black man. And so, I mean, they and he's Republican. So obviously he's not exactly, you know, on the friends list of the DNC in New York. So, yeah, I mean, trying to make an example out of him is what they're trying to do.
That's probably why they had Mayor Adams show up in there. So Hochul couldn't be called a racist for.
Oh God. Yeah. She's had enough comments on stuff like that lately too, but yeah, she's about dumb as a rock, but you know, that's about on par for what I've seen for governors for, I mean, Cuomo was that way.
What a jerk.
I gotta remember the name of the guy who was after Cuomo, the blind man. And I hate to say that's the only way I can remember him.
The mayor or the governor?
No, it was the governor. He was a blind man for a little while. And, you know, he took over and he got kicked out for committing crimes. And I'm like going, I mean,
not in jail, though, not like this guy.
Not in jail, though. But not in jail. That's the thing. All these guys commit crimes, but they get a severance package and get to go on their way and then appear on CNN and on their own shows and everything. He is apparently not connected enough for that. So
on top of that, he's taken care of. I can't remember if it was his aging or sick mother or dad. And he's got a, not his wife, whatever, it's his gal, whatever, he had a child with, and he's raising a young boy, you know? So instead of letting the young boy grow up under a good parent, who's not a criminal or a goon or somebody who commits a bunch of heinous crimes, you know, let's throw him in jail so the kid doesn't have a dad anymore. And let's get them. I'm pretty sure I heard it on Dana Lash. I'm almost sure of it. Whatever parent he's taking care of, is, they said she's probably going to die without him taking the care.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not their problem.
And then the woman doesn't have her man around. I mean, they're just, they couldn't care less. I mean,
and they can't. It's because, you know what? As long as they get their talking points and their 15 minutes on TV, on CNN, they're perfectly fine with it. And they don't mind destroying lives to go after their quest for something that is written and clear and old. And I tell you what, I made a mistake already. I'm sitting here and we're playing around with this thing. We forgot to do one thing. Can you do it for me, Jamie?
You need me to say the Second Amendment is what you're saying. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
See, if I screw up on something like that.
Then I was going to say it right. I thought you were just passing it over. So
no, Clay probably send me a text right away from wherever he's ranching at right now. So
he's rolling himself up in the wire all pissed off.
Oh, that's right. He's working on that fencing and everything. Fence. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be done. So I realize that. I mean, it's the thing. It's the season for you guys. Of course, that's the thing about you guys up there. There's always a season for something to be done.
Yeah, I'm going to do that Saturday afternoon and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So should we hit some of these comments here from?
Yeah, go ahead and hit some of those real quick.
All right. Trampas says, good evening. Good evening, Trampas. Brian Warner, good evening, fellow MVs. Hey, Brian. Doug Thompson, good evening. One Shot Cap, good evening, Patriots. Dan Brown, good evening, my fellow MBEs from the Western Edge. Matt Simon, oh, the humanity. The Hindenburg crash, right? But there you go, Brian, the Crypt Keeper. Yeah, she looks like She looks like Biden's twin sister, but a little younger. She's not quite as crypty.
Well, she couldn't be any older. I mean, come on, think about it. Hey, we got Clay is listening to us, why fencing guys, so he appreciates us all being here. Of course, he just said that on Rumble, so he's streaming while he's out there.
Right,
that's the big change that we've had over the last 10 years with our wireless and everything like that. I mean, it's amazing that you can go out in the middle of nowhere, be doing a job, and still, you know, be connected in some way. I mean, we're not as all distant as we all used to be. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad.
Right.
But, yeah, it's good Clay's listening to us, so I do appreciate that.
Matt says that sounds like a normal trip to the range with too little ammo. Like, 50 rounds. I mean, that'd be like swing in and blast a couple mags and head out. But 50 rounds.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs to get his reloading plant going there.
But they completely always throw that out. I mean, they throw out these things that he had an arsenal, and I'm like going, he had a nice collection of pistols and rifles. I mean, really? I mean, we all would like to have more down the road, but I think we should all have a keg party every time someone has to buy a new safe to add to their house. I think that should just be a man tradition or a woman tradition as well.
I'm in.
Every time, you know, we need to start that. That's a good party idea. This is like, you know, we got a new gun safe coming in. So pizza and beer.
I have three of them and there's still not enough room for.
Yeah. I got two and one very small one. So, you know, right now, and you know, they're pretty full. And so I'm waiting for the excuse to have to say, well, honey, got to buy another one.
Got to buy another one.
Got to be safe. You know, so she'd be like, well, you just don't need to buy as many guns. I don't need to be married either. But you know what? Right. We're not going to go there.
You know, just give her the one. It's not the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Needs. It's a Bill of Rights. So.
Bill of Rights. We speaking about, we were talking, of course, on this same deal with the Brooklyn guy. I want to talk about this real quick. This is out of Washington, D.C. So down the coast from New York. Washington, D.C. judge facing some backlash. And he's facing backlash because he opted to cut loose an 18-year-old. Now, 18-year-old kid who's caught on video, and I've got the clips, the pictures, the stills from it. He basically dumped two magazines into a car full of people that was driving by. And the Lloyd U. Nolan Jr., a judge of Superior Court in District Columbia, released him on house arrest ahead of his trial, despite acknowledging that the teen's alleged actions could have killed somebody. Mm-hmm. And now he's deactivated all his social medias, and he's not having any contact or anything. He's not doing any interviews with anybody right now because he says he's caught too much backlash on this. And with that in mind, I mean, that's a good time for me to, as any, to bring up my my new little graphic here. So, I mean, true. I mean,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
The thing about it is that, yeah, you're a judge and things will come back and I feel so sorry that you had to jump off social media for a little while. But maybe if you thought about your decisions a little better, you know, that might be different. I mean, why? I mean, it's one thing. You've got the guy who's going to be spending 10 years in jail. He's not going to be taking care of his son. He's not going to be taking care of his son's mother. And he's not going to be taking care of his own parent who could die without his care. And there's no money coming into the family then on that. So, but, you know, he's going to go away because he had 50 rounds of ammunition and oh my. But you've got a kid who's out here who shot 26 rounds into an SUV carrying four people in his town back in April. And he's out walking around free right now prior to his thing because, well, just because. Because, you know, and I'm going through this case. And, of course, this judge as well has got a huge amount of, you know, all the flags and whatnot that come on there. You know, he's Black Lives Matters, Soros guy. Wow. I mean, I don't always get into the Soros thing and all that. But he does fund and donate to a lot of a lot of causes that are really far left leaning. That shows that he cannot be impartial in this situation at all.
I mean, that's anti-American right there. Just people doing that kind of crap and just letting them off the hook. I mean, that's, you know, who said we're a nation of laws? I mean, we are. And then this guy gets, he's just a kid. Whatever he said, I don't care what the reason is. When you dump two mags into a freaking van with people, you can't tell me that kid, how old was he again, Mike?
18 years old.
There's no way he didn't know any better. There's no damn way. I don't care if you were raised without a mom or a dad. You know that shit's wrong. There's no way you don't know that.
Now, the kid, his public defender, pushed for GPS monitoring and insists that the teen had a supportive family who were willing to keep tabs on him, have his trial. Where the hell were they when he was? Because, you know, we're talking 26 rounds. Chances are that's a couple magazines. You had to. It's not like you were just instinctively doing this and then you came to your senses. No, you took the time in between to reload and fire again. And the only reason to fire your rifle at someone is to kill them. I mean, that's what he was trying to do. You're firing into a car blindly and you're trying to kill them. But, you know, there should be four counts of of attempted manslaughter on that one, at least. But,
he's 18. I mean, we're saying kid. He's not a kid. He's an adult.
Right? I know. We do that a lot too. We always say, you know, when you're 18, you're an adult. And of course, the judge appears to agree that the kid will be all right with his parents and his family. And I'm like, well, they apparently weren't doing too well for him before. And, for something to escalate to the point where you feel you need to go into the middle of the street and let off 26 rounds. I don't know what set off the circumstances short of incarceration I can find, Nolan says. Despite warnings, he had concerns for the safety of the community. The judge eventually relented and released Moody on 24/7 house arrest with a GPS ankle monitor at his stepfather's house in Maryland. So, yeah, it's just one of those cases, once again, which is not getting as much press as other cases, but it should. It should be equal, you know? I mean, they should be showing this kid. I mean, this is an 18-year-old kid who I don't even know what the condition of the four. They don't, in this story, they don't even list the condition of the four people that were in the car. So I don't know if they are dead. Or obviously, they're not dead, or they would be listing that. But obviously, they were probably wounded, or he's maybe the worst shot ever. Finally, I found somebody worse than me. But, yeah.
He won. Guess what? Now he's off the hook. Hey, I can do this again. It ain't a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And they'll probably plea it down a little bit more. I'm sure he'll maybe get 2-3 years of ankle monitoring and whatnot. And I'm thinking, you got
he'll cut people. That off.
Yeah, yeah. And then what if he does? You know, what are they going to do after that? I mean, well, our resources are stretched too thin. Well, no, they aren't. If you arrest the people that do crimes and put them in jail, then you can take care of things because now they're behind bars, they're behind gates, and they're taken care of. Now you don't have to worry about them anymore. You can handle other crimes. That's like police, and Clay's gone over this many times, is that the no foul crimes that the police are always jumping on to do, you know, between the drunk driving and everything else and all that, or just the dumb stuff they pull people over for no reason. Do you know why I pulled you over? Don't ask me why. Tell me what you want. Just why am I sitting here? I'm not giving you anything. Here's my license. What? That's all I'm giving you. Just tell me why you pulled me over.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where they're so focused on all these bullcrap laws left and right to harass everybody out there because. And let's say it is that there should be more training for police officers. There should be a longer time that they train before they get on the police force. There should be a longer time that they're trained to de-escalate things. And they should be, I think, evaluated a little bit more for the simple fact that I don't think that all police officers, especially the chips on their shoulders, need to be out there in the field. Because if you can't handle, like I see, I don't really care for these sovereign citizen guys with the license plates, but you know, I see them all the time and they're always escalating on those guys. And I'm like going, you know what? Just, you know, the guy is pretty much just wacky. All right. You're not going to win this argument. I mean, you can arrest him, but I mean, really what laws he's breaking that, you know, is really putting anyone in danger at the present moment. So it's just ridiculous. It's just one more thing that you just look at these cases.
They're picking on people who aren't really breaking a law that even if they are, it's nothing serious. And the people who are seriously breaking the laws are getting off the hook. So
yeah,
and we got 23 after. You want to hit this first double here?
I think I can. I can do that. And of course, I gotta remember to hit the right buttons because there's all kinds of new stuff here for the Clay.
Is there? I didn't even look, but
I always gotta look around. But I'll hit this one first. We'll go for this. All right.
Sounds good, buddy.
It's foot bandit. Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights,
Bloodline,
and the science behind gun accuracy.
Kinetics.
To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right, gunsinthe701.com. We're back with Mike and Jamie. Clay out doing fencing tonight, so we're all there. Vance is actually a little under the weather, so he's listening as well. We do appreciate. We're on Rumble. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I love the Twitch. I got to check that out next time we take a break real quick. I got to see what's going on over on that real quick and see. So we got, it's like four people watching us there last time. So I'm like, really? Hey, it's a good start. Awesome. Hey, it's a start, you know. I watch my daughter. She does gaming stuff, and so I always watch her on the Twitch as well.
So add off of that, yeah, last week we had Congressman Armstrong on. He talked to him this week. He said he wants to make it a quarterly deal coming on with us. So I'm looking forward to doing that. He said he had a great time. And I mean, the guy's a true gun owner, lifetime gun owner, hunter. I mean, it's awesome. Hey, if you get a governor like that, that's pretty awesome, man.
Speaking of that, that was a great show. And you guys really, I mean, there's a lot of people chiming in on all the different social media.
Big viewership.
We're liking it. Speaking of that, though, we were, we had a lot of people that were, you know, I don't like him for this reason. We're a Second Amendment show. Yeah, we do. And we focus on the Second Amendment thing. That's one of our strongest things, because without that, we don't have much of the else. So with that in mind, of course, we're not going to all agree on everything. I mean, me and Clay, me and you, we all don't agree on everything.
Right.
But you know what? When it comes to Second Amendment, we're all pretty strong on that. So, you know.
Well, you know, my theory is that's kind of evolved over the years, Mike. In my opinion, the way it is now, as long as I'm getting somebody who's moving the ball forward for our side, and I'm not saying, and I'm saying I'll take moving it forward a little bit instead of leaps and bounds. And what I mean by that is somebody I'm going to agree with more than half the time, because, you know, my district's a good example of that. My senator, I can't remember what conservative thing I've seen. He was like voted 58% conservative, right?
Right.
So I said, okay, you know what? I'll take 58%, because the alternative to that would have been less than 5% agreement with the Democrat. He was did I disagree with Kelly on everything? No, there's been some votes I disagreed, but for the most part, I agree with the guy, and I got friends I don't agree with. And I guess if that pisses people off, I want to hear what the guy, I want the guy to come on and talk. He might be our governor. You guys want to hear what the hell he's got to say?
No, that's totally down here in South Dakota. I don't always agree with Noam. There's a bunch of stuff that I don't agree with the way she does stuff, but you know what, when it comes to her Second Amendment vote, it's 100%. So I'm all about that. And so, you know, you got to take what you got to take, you know, sometimes it's not always going to be. And you know, you got Burgum right now, who's out in Washington or out in New York, following around Trump like a lost puppy. And you know, he's out there trying to get his Second Amendment, or not his Second Amendment, trying to get his VP thing on.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it over and over. He doesn't bring anything to the table. I don't even know why he thinks that's going to happen, because he's already got North Dakota is going to vote for Trump.
We're going to be 60-70% probably.
Yeah. Which, you know, is amazing right now, because I've been watching a lot of these states that Trump has won in these primaries and whatnot. And they love to say that, Haley took 20% from him. And I'm like going, but the last time I checked, 80% is a huge amount. I mean, you know.
It baffles me. Like percentages were talking. I mean, guess what, Mike? If I wanted to bring it up, I got plenty of things I disagreed with what Trump, not only what he did and some things he said. Am I on here? Oh, geez, Donald Trump? No, I'm going to vote for the guy. I think the guy's policies are good. I have no problem with it. And, you know, I'll welcome anybody who wants to come on who's running for any office. I even have a Democrat on. I've said it before. I won't be an a-hole. I'll be as cordial as I can, you know, but I'm going to disagree with you. But if you want to come on, feel free to go ahead and send us an email. Or if you know somebody who knows me, get in contact. I'll have you on. I don't care.
I've got some people on podcasts that I listen to, Incredulous and a few others. Be Reasonable is one. And it's a British guy, but he interviews a lot of these flat earthers and whatnot, all these different, you know, the people out there with the conspiracy theory.
Shaquille O'Neal's a flat earther.
But he is so even keel when he's talking to them that he gives them the respect to ask them questions and let them answer instead of going for the hostile, you know, gotcha stuff and everything like that, which which, you know, God, it's got to be, as a candidate, it's just got to be.
They're better than me by doing that, because I couldn't. I would lose it and get mad. But that's why I'm not very well known live streamer, and they're running for office.
No, you're doing better and better, though. I'll tell you what, 701 Nation. You know, we were all thinking about coming up on the 25th, but now they're saying that's not going to happen because we had a change in schedules and stuff like that. But I still think we should have drinks in the 701 live with all of us up there personally.
We can do that.
My son is coming up with me, so I've got a driver, so I'm good on that.
Right.
Who we got? Any comments?
Here we go. Eric says, good evening, fellas. Listen from Wyoming this week in search of a big sauger for competition piece for next year. Awesome. What do you think is big, Eric? I'm looking big saugers. I mean, what, 5-6 pounds? I don't know how big saugers get in Wyoming, but they're normally, kind of an off-breed of the walleye. I love saugers. Oh, great. Vance Bishop, hey, guys, listening in. Under the weather tonight. Good to see Jamie on. Hey, Vance, hope you get well, buddy. Speaking under the weather, last week I had a kidney stone. I don't recommend that to anybody except Biden supporters. That freaking sucked. Yeah. Dan Brown, he said he didn't really appreciate Mike's diatribe against cops enforcing the law there, Mike.
Yeah, I know. And I know that. And it's a tough row to hoe with this comments that I make. And I understand exactly where Dan's coming from. He says, and, without police, I mean, there is a lot of anarchy that could be happening in a lot of different ways. And so, but I just, I don't know, maybe I've been on the wrong side of it just a tad too many times. And like I said, I'm a law abiding citizen. And I feel like I worry about my son going out to a Walmart parking lot, talking with his friends and all that. I worry about, what police officers had a bad day, that something bad's going to happen, because we hear about it happen all the time. And yeah, maybe I'm a little jaded on that. And I shouldn't be that way on all cops, because 95-98% of cops are good. And it's the 2% to get all the publicity that really screw everything up. So yeah, I understand that, Dan. So yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. So
I gotta say, I've basically all of them, except maybe once or twice. And even at that point, the cop was, and that was a different time when I was younger. I mean, nowadays you got to deal with, I think you got to deal with some real a-holes in the way the system is. So maybe there's more now that get pissed, but most of them I ever dealt with, I fought a little bit with a couple of them and realized that was going to be a losing battle. So I stopped before I got my ass beat or shot. So,
well, I got a lot of friends that are state troopers here in South Dakota. So, I pretty much like them, but it's a different breed altogether. I think when you get into the city cops, sometimes you're cutting corners on who you're hiring. So sometimes, and I truly believe that. And some of our sheriffs are good sheriffs, and some of our sheriffs, as we say everywhere, are not all good sheriffs. So yeah, I just worry, as his dad and everything else. I worry about myself. I worry about my kids. I worry about my wife. I worry about everything, just paranoid, a little bit.
He says, with the rare exception, Dan saying this, if your son complies with the law and law enforcement, nothing bad will happen. Now, I would agree with it. That's been my experience, Dan.
My son got pulled over a couple months ago, and because his radio was too loud, apparently. I think it was an excuse. I think it was an excuse to pull him over.
That sub bump in there?
Yeah. He's got my old truck, and he's kind of beefed it up a little bit with the sound systems, not factory anymore. But, and the police officer says, your music's a little loud. And my son carted off the regulations for the city of what the sound ordinance is. And there's nothing until 11 p.m. at night for the entire city. Mm-hmm. And, officer didn't like that, but Jack did get to drive away. Now, I worry, he's right, but doesn't always mean that what's going to happen, is right. Because, like I said, anybody has a bad day. And the only problem is that sometimes I think that some people use their badge a little bit too much. So especially when they're having bad days to make examples. And I worry about it. Yeah. I mean, we teach our kids to be pretty headstrong, know the laws, know what they're doing and everything like that. But, I still worry. It's just And this comes from my inner city days. I mean, I grew up in Cincinnati area and been in a lot of inner city stuff. And so, you know, that paranoia comes from that, from more than anything else. So that's why it gets ingrained into you, because big city police officers just, you know, for the ones that can do it and keep a level head, God bless them.
Yeah. That was my point earlier, saying how many scumbags they deal with during the day. And then they come across somebody who's,
oh, and I don't, you know, and I don't know that he didn't just have to deal with the biggest jerk off in the world that was, you know, 5 minutes ago and then end up, you know, whatever. And now he's got to deal with this. And, you know, sometimes you get a breaking point. I understand that, but you know, yeah, Dan's right on a lot of it. And so, I apologize on that.
We got Eric. He says 5 pounders all they want. All right, see, that's kind of what I was thinking. I'm not that far removed from my big fishing days. And Lynette says there's always a bad apple that makes us look bad. Yep. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do, Lynette. I mean, there's no getting around that. So, all right, let's tell you what. Let's move on here to what you were talking about Ben Carson earlier here.
I got one for Ben Carson here.
I let the cat out of the hat. You said
that's
one
fine. We got Ben Carson. We answered the questions. That's fine. I'm good with that. Of course, Ben Carson thinks he's a short lister for vice president as well.
I hope not.
And I don't see it. He's a brain surgeon. He is.
Nice guy. Super nice guy. But, I mean,
yeah, I just don't think
entertaining is watching your grass grow.
Yeah, I know. But he has got a thing that he just put a new book out. Of course, that's one of the things this came from. And in his new book, he has got, it's called The Perilous Flight, released on Tuesday. He talks big about getting rid of no-fault divorces. Mm-hmm. And he says, in a quote, "The reason this matter is a no-fault divorce legally allows marriages to end much more quickly than in previous decades," wrote Carson. "And when there are relatively few legal or financial consequences connected with divorce, it's natural for people to gravitate towards that option," which I don't think is true, when the marriage hits a rough path. And he says that he thinks there should be a law to deter people from getting divorced and making it harder to get a divorce. And I got to tell you, disagree to the extreme. One, you're going to add another law. Two, you're going to add a law on something that, you know, the government shouldn't be regulating who gets married and who doesn't get married in the first thing. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. I mean, if you're going to get married in a civil service, I guess you'll get the justice of the peace, and that'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're
mm-hmm.
going to get married in a church or whatever it is, as long as your church handles that, let your church handle that. And I'm fine with that too. But when the government and the federal government start saying that we're going to pass a law that you're either going to stay married or you're not going to stay married, no, you can just shut up right now, because that's the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. And it goes on, of course. The studies have found that the laws reduce domestic violence and suicide rates among women. I remember the 70s quite well. I remember how bad it was for women. I remember my mom and her early divorce. I mean, her second marriage. You know, it was a bad one. And as a small kid, I have flashes of memories of what a bad situation she was in. So I'm glad she escaped from that. And, you know, if this law was in place, then she wouldn't have those options. I mean, you would have to go in front of a panel, I guess, of people to plead your case. And that's not easy at all. And I just don't understand. You know, I know some people think that it's too easy to get divorced. It's not. What is one of the hardest decisions you're ever going to make when you're in that situation? And you know what? You should think about the decision you're going to make, and that's true. But, you know, to have the government come in and tell you, we're going to tell you what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, that's just one more step.
I mean, what if somebody told him, you're going to, hey, gay marriage, you will accept it. I'm going to make a law. If you don't accept it, there's going to be a law against you not accepting. I don't like that kind of thing. That's, you know, I think that's horseshit by Ben Carson. I mean, not as bad as the other thing you're going to show us here that really blew my mind.
Let me pull that one up there, because, you know, it's.
Well, Lynette said Ben Carson, nope, he's too slow and sleepy. Exactly, Lynette. I mean, you got to have some. Mike Pence was like that too. Yeah, how'd Pence turn out? But whatever.
Yeah.
I'm way out on Ben Carson. Yeah.
But on this one, Katie Britt.
Of course, I can't believe this. I really can't.
introduced a bill to create a federal database of pregnant women that can be tracked by the government. Now, because all these different changes to, you know, since Roe versus Wade has been gone and all that, there's been different states that have gone different ways, changed the times and whatnot that you can pursue that or can't pursue whatever you want for your baby. Well, so now we're going to, every woman, that's the thing about it, every woman is going to be tracked. You're going to have to put an ankle, hey, we just announced that we're going to have a baby. Well, here's your ankle monitor. You know, we're going to track where you go from that point on. And I'll tell you, that's our side making us look bad.
Very, very bad. That looks terrible. I mean, that's totalitarian.
And I just don't understand why the party of small government has let a lot of people that do this big government overreach crap come to the forefront. We're putting this woman in after Biden's State of the Union speech. We're doing stuff like that and Carson. And I'm like, no, I mean, you know, thank you for your support. Thank you for voting for us. But we're going to go a different direction than you because, you know, your stuff is just the stuff of fantasy minds. And I don't understand it. It's like you can say, I want small government. And in the same breath, say,
I want to track you.
But I'm going to track you.
Because you're pregnant, right?
Yeah. I was, are we going to track the husband too? I mean, I don't know. I mean, make sure, maybe because your parents, well, maybe we'll put those ankle bracelets on you that if you get too far away from each other, you know, the alarms will go off or something.
I mean, you know, it sounds conspiracy-ist, but I mean, I never thought that I would ever see a Republican introduce something like that, to be honest with you.
Well, it's Tennessee.
Alabama.
Alabama, thank you. Alabama with the gentleman inside the legislative of Alabama that we're talking about the, they wanted to raise the age of consent for marriage to, I think, 18.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about Katie Britt, my bad.
No. Okay. And no. I think it was either Alabama or Tennessee. So, but you had a lot of our Republicans up there saying, no, the, you know, 13's fine. And I'm like going, you know, do you not think when you, I mean, we're in a modern age and the one guy saying, well, it's in the Bible, so there it's okay. And I'm like going, no, there's a certain point where you have to look at it like this. You know, it's a different time. It's a different age. You know, I want my sons and my daughters to grow up to adulthood and then make adult decisions. I don't want an adult to take my daughter when she's 13 and say, well, legally I have the right to take her wherever I want and marry her, or let's go have a Vegas wedding or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like going, you know, I don't want this stuff. You know, once again, you know, it's us, the party of small government being dumb. I don't understand. I mean, one, I don't, like Clay has said in the past, yeah, maybe we shouldn't let the government be involved in marriage at all. I mean, and I can understand that into a certain point. I mean, at one point, they need to get involved with the whole thing. I mean, we have churches and everything out there that, you know, I don't know. I could go on it forever, but, you know, what do you think more about it? So I don't ramble.
I mean, I think that's ridiculous. Track women because they're pregnant. That is freaking unbelievable to me to know what they're doing.
That's putting women that are in a state that has very strong anti-abortion laws.
What?
Because you're a woman, you've announced that you're pregnant. Now we no longer trust you to make your own decisions. So we're going to track you to make sure that you don't, you know, slip and do something wrong.
Or like they're heading towards the state line.
It's state line or something like that.
Legal in Mississippi or something.
And right. Something like that. Yeah.
I'm almost at a loss for words, Mike. That is completely stupid and ridiculous.
And I know it's not really in the Second Amendment, but at the same time, it's all about rights and it's where do we go too far? And I am tired of being a Republican and having Republicans speak for me that shouldn't be speaking for me. You know, I'm tired.
Yeah, I don't agree with what she just did there at all. Not one bit.
But I mean, I've got so many that are up there in the echelons right now that I just go, why are you speaking for me? You're dumb as a rock. Or you may be smart, but for some reason, I know I have a concussion, but you're acting like you have a concussion.
Not living in the world of reality is what and I get it. Hey man, if you're anti-abortion, I get that.
Yeah. It's not even about that. It's not even about whether you're for or against. It's the rights. Because you're a woman.
Right.
And you get pregnant, you are losing your rights to travel where you want to travel, to go and be free in the United States. You're now confined to your city limits or whatever they do.
So, I mean, Trump even caught flack for changing his stance. I mean, I agree with Trump's stance on what he said. Hey, you know, what did he say? 6-week ban, which I'm in favor of that until the embryo and turn can feel freaking pain, right?
You know, right.
That's probably where some people come at me. You know, I knew JD was a rhino. Now he's out of, yeah, you got me. I'm a freaking rhino because, Trump did it, you know, because that is a loser, man. What they're doing down there, that I told Mike before the show, there was a seat in Alabama that was held by Republicans for like 50 freaking years. Mm-hmm. And then after they passed the law down there, it flipped Democrat and it flipped easy. And it was direct. They said it was a direct result of that.
Redistricting? Is that what it was?
No, it was because of their abortion law. And then Democrat totally ran on that. And then the Republican ran, he got smashed and they lost the seat there in the state. So, but I'm not, like I said, I'm 6 weeks. I don't think it's ridiculous to put a ban after it on 6 weeks when the kid is feeling pain, at that point, I'm out on that.
And you see, there's science going both ways. There's scientists that say both ways and everything like that. And that's fine to have that conversation and to talk that through. But then when you turn it around and you're going, you know, you're losing your rights because you are going to become a mother. And I'm baffled by that concept that we need to call bullcrap more often on stuff like that, even on our own side, because we're real good at calling it on the other side. We need to call it on our side as well. And snap some of these, you know, people that are on our side into some reality a little bit and say, you know, we're not just going to follow along with you blindly because you've got an R next to your name. Mm-hmm. We're going to listen. And if you're doing something stupid up there, I mean, I guarantee you that every woman that is of childbearing age that is in the districts for Katie or whatever her name is. I forget what. Yeah.
Katie. Well, she's a U.S. senator. So, I mean, she's a state.
Can you imagine that you voted for this woman and all of a sudden she's like, well, you know what? I just want to take away your rights now. And I'm like going.
I'm down with what the Supreme Court said. It is a 10th Amendment issue. Mm-hmm. But now you want to not if you want to ban it in your state, that's fine. But guess what? Now you want to track people who are pregnant. Yeah. That's going over the line, man.
And you know what? And when laws like that get created, then they get created for other things too. So then what we're going to do if your son doesn't have an IQ over a certain amount, do we track him as well? Because you know, obviously he can't handle himself.
Mike, you know. What would we say about tracking people with a loaded gun, their magazine full of ammo? What would we say about that? We'd say that did not happen.
No, not happening. So, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it's just like, you know, they're going to find any way to try to – that's where the conspiracy theories come in. It's like, you know, they always say that putting trackers in us and all this stuff like that.
It's common.
I just don't think we have the technology yet. Not until they strap a full thing on your arm and it's got a big antenna.
Oh, you do like the thing to Mars or Schwarzenegger and he pulls that big ball out of his nose.
Oh yeah.
Good show, by the way. So Brian Wanner says, this bullshit is the reason that this issue, abortion, never seems to get anywhere. Right, Brian? You can't have a normal conversation about stuff. It's the same in my mind about conversations about racism, which goes both ways. But as soon as you bring that up, then you're a damn racist, sir. Because you can't have a conversation about reality because somebody's going to get pissed and you're going to get canceled or whatever. You're going to get labeled something. You can't have a conversation about anything anymore, and it sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I work in radio in my regular job. And so, yeah, there you got to keep your mouth shut because you're corporate radio. So, I mean, and, you know, you got to, everything's got to be by the book. And, you know, certain music artist does something. Well, we're not going to mention that right now because it's too risky to even joke about it. So, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just gets ridiculous sometimes. And now 30 years of that crap. And I've had artists that I've had radio stations completely ban their music and stuff like that. And then years later, all of a sudden it just kind of shows back up. And then you call and ask the people at corporate office why. And they're like, well, you know, that was a lot.
So I'll tell you what, let's do our big ad, right? And then come back and let's hit the badass.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I have been babbling a bit. I guess we could do a big ad.
It's 9 minutes to 8 already. We did our
already.
First
gee, mini Christmas. Yeah. So I got to find the triple ad. There we go. So we're getting ready for that right now. We'll be back on gunsinthe701.com.
I'm from the Athlete's Foot Foundation.
Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
All right, gunsinthe701.com. Jamie's here with me, and I'm Mike, of course, and Clay is out fencing tonight. You've got stuff to do on Saturday, you said, for fencing.
Yep, heading up to my dad's place to put my honor.
You're kind of missing there. You've fallen in a well.
You got me?
No, not yet.
Now you got me. Try pulling him. I'm heading up to my dad's farm there, ranch, and Saturday afternoon, and we're gonna tear some fence out and put some up, and you know, try to keep the doors open on the local saloon that night.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's gonna be a good time. Check on the trees we planted, and It's great. Love going back to the ranch. Awesome. Yeah,
it's always good.
Yeah, Clay looks like he's got his, man, that's green down there at his place. He sent us that picture. And, dang, looks awesome, man. Yeah, and hey, guys, you do any business with our sponsors, make sure and tell them you heard it on Guns in the 701 or 701 Nation. And
you had a good idea. You had a good idea. Tell them about that idea you had about graduation coming up.
Yeah, so, you know, Mandan Sporting Goods, you can go in there and they got gift certificates in there. I tell you what, if you can't figure something out, you got a young lady or a young man looking, they love hunting, they love shooting, you know, the Second Amendment enthusiasts, go in there, get them a gift card for sport Mandan Sporting Goods. What's better than that? They can go in and get whatever they want, put it towards a firearm, buy some ammo. You know, Brandon's got all kinds of other stuff in there, but nice knives, suppressors, whatever. Get over there and do that, man. It's it's awesome. In fact, I picked a couple up there today, and picked a couple up at Double H too. So,
and Axel over at Lawler Auto, of course, as well. I mean, think about that. If your kids, you know, graduated from high school, and you know, either they're going to school or they're going to a job or whatever, you know, be it oil changes or whatever to get fixed, you know, get them something, a gift certificate from there as well. I mean, that's sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and hey, and if you get if you're buying your son or daughter a knife for a graduation gift or a firearm, whatever, you can take it down Bloodline. He'll laser anything you want in there. And years ago, I bought my youngest daughter a knife, had it lasered in there. You know, love dad, whatever I put on there, and she loves it. It's a great little knife and something they can keep for their whole life, whether the knife gets old or not. And they get another one. They always got it on there, and you know, they got the special message on there. But I mean, it's awesome. You can put it whatever you want on there, and it's there forever. So any of our sponsors, guys, you look, and not just for graduation, right? I mean, you got somebody's birthday coming up, or you want to get something nice for your husband or your wife, and you want it, you know, engraved for the rest of their life or something. Because trust me, if your husband's into guns or hunting, you can't go wrong with buying him a
gift certificate.
Gift certificate from one of our sponsors. That's for damn sure.
I mean, you could go in and you could try to figure out exactly what he wanted, but you know what? You know, he knows it or she knows it best. So, I mean, hey, you know, get a gift certificate from one of our great sponsors and check them out, of course, at gunsinthe701.com. Don't forget to check out our store as well if you want to buy something cool for somebody for graduation. You can do that as well. We got the QR code. I'm going to do it again. There we go. Up there. There. You can always also donate a little money up there. I'm going to drop the QR code off here in a little bit because we've got our Badass of the Week, and it's got the QR code on there. And I took some stuff off on the bottom so that you can see everything that's happening on this. Jamie, you dropped me a message. It's not this week, but I finished it the other day. You dropped me a message on a guy that you were talking about. You wanted me to research for Badass, and I did a bunch, and I think I did him. Who was
He was a veteran, and was in Washington, right? I can't remember. He was in some gangbangers were going nuts in the street, and I think took matters into his own hands.
He bought a cheap house near the base in Tacoma, Washington, and so, then the gangbangers were taking over the neighborhood. So him and the Army Rangers decided to put an end to it. So, yeah, that's going to be coming up probably next week. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
This one's military as well, but it's a good one, and it's one that one of the good heroes that you don't always hear about. Of course, the one thing I talk about in this is that this is the kind of guy that back in the 50s and 60s decided that the Green Berets had it easy in their training and everything else. So he's the one who revamped it into the badassery that they are now. So, so that goes to tell you this kind of guy it is. But Charles Beckwith is our Badass of the Week. And we're going to go ahead and play that here real quick on gunsinthe701.com. Me and Jamie will be back in just a little bit. We'll have a nice little conversation about it. Everybody, it's time once again for Guns in the 701.com's Badass of the Week.
This week, we're covering Charles Alvin Beckwith. Charles Alvin Beckwith was born in Atlanta, Georgia, January 1929, to parents Elza Dozier Beckwith and Clara Eugenia Beckwith. He was an all-state football player for his high school team. He later enrolled in the University of Georgia, where he was a member of the Delta chapter of Sigma Chi Fraternity and ROTC. Now, Beckwith lettered in football with the Bulldogs and was approached by the Green Bay Packers for the 1950-51 NFL draft, but he turned it down in favor of a military career. Now, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army in 1952. Now, since the Korean War was over, the second lieutenant, then Second Lieutenant Beckwith, he served as a platoon leader with Charlie Company, 17th Infantry Regiment, 7th Infantry Division in South Korea. In 1955, Beckwith was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division as the commander of the Combat Support Company of the 504th Parachute Infantry Regiment. In 1958, after completing Ranger School, Beckwith joined with Special Forces and was assigned to the 7th Special Force Group. In 1960, then Captain Beckwith deployed to Laos for 2 years on Operation Hotfoot.
Now, a little backstory on Hotfoot, originally known as Operation Ambidextrous, was a secretive military training mission from the United States in support of the Kingdom of Laos. It ran from January 22nd of 1959 through the 19th of April of 1961. Now, working in civilian clothing in conjunction with French military mission, it concentrated on technical training of the Royal Laos Army. Back to the story.
In 1962, Beckwith was sent as an exchange officer to the British 22 Special Air Service Regiment, or SAS, where he commanded 3 Troop A Squadron. Now, he conducted wartime guerrilla operations with the SAS during the Malayan Emergency. Now, in the jungle, he contracted a case of leptospirosis, so severe the doctors did not expect him to survive. However, he made a full recovery in months, despite the severe pulmonary hemorrhage syndrome.
Sounds painful just to say, doesn't it?
Now, upon his return to England, Beckwith presented a detailed report outlining the Army's vulnerabilities in not having an SAS-type unit. Now, for several years, Beckwith, who was still a captain, submitted and resubmitted the report to Army brass. That same Army brass repeatedly thwarted his efforts. Now, Special Forces leadership at the time thought that they had enough on their hands and did not need the trouble of creating a new unit. They were wrong. Meanwhile, as the 7th Special Forces Group Airborne Operations Officer, Beckwith went to work revolutionizing Green Beret training because, in his words, Green Berets kind of had it easy. Special Forces at the time focused on unconventional warfare and especially foreign internal defense, i.e., training indigenous personnel in resistance activities. But Beckwith recognized that before a Special Forces Green Beret soldier could become a good unconventional soldier, he first had to be a good conventional one. Because, in his words,
"Because I had commanded a rifle and a weapons company, I was appalled on arriving in Special Forces to find officers who had never commanded conventional operations training from a real-world lesson."
Now, he had learned that with the SAS, Beckwith also, that a symbol of excellence, like a Green Beret, had to be earned. Officers were being assigned to Special Forces straight out of War College with no prior special ops experience and were given their Green Berets on arrival. Beckwith instituted the hard-nosed and practical training standards that would lend themselves to the birth of the modern Q Course. Now, Q Force, or the Special Forces Qualification Course, is the initial formal training program for entry into the United States Army Special Forces. In 1965, Beckwith volunteered to return to Vietnam, where he was selected to command the high priority Special Forces Unit Project Delta, Operational Detachment B-52. Now, he used his SAS experience that the Brits had taught him to test and select men for long-range reconnaissance operations in South Vietnam. Now, following his promotion to Major, Beckwith led B-52 in the rescue of a besieged Special Forces camp at the Siege of Ply Mi, during which President Lyndon B. Johnson requested to speak to him directly over radio in order to congratulate and encourage him. His iron fist disciplinarian style of running of a camp is described in detail in CBS News journalist John Lawrence's book, the Cat from Hugh. Now, Beckwith was critically wounded in early 1966. And when I say that, let me remind you, he took a 50 caliber bullet to the abdomen. Now, when I think of a 50 caliber bullet going into your gut, I kind of think of this. Yeah, it was so bad, the medical personnel triaged him as beyond help for the second time in his military career. This time, again, Beckwith made a full recovery and went on to overhaul the Florida phase of the United States Army Ranger School. Beckwith transformed this phase from a scripted exercise based upon the Army's World War II experiences into a Vietnam-oriented jungle training regiment. In 1968, following the Tet Offensive, then Lieutenant Colonel Beckwith returned to South Vietnam, taking command of the 2nd Battalion, 327th Infantry Airborne, 1st Brigade, 101st Airborne Division. For the 9 months that he commanded the 2327, no slack, they saw many successes in combat operations, including Hugh, Operation Mingo, Operation Jeb Stuart, Operation Nevada Eagle, and Operation Somerset Plain, which was sweeping the southern portions of the Shaw Valley. The toughest job of the battalion was cleaning out a 7-kilometer stretch of Route 547 running west of Hugh, eventually defeating determined NVA defenders so that fire support base Bastogne could be established. From 1973 to 1974, now Beckwith served as commander, Control Team B, with the Joint Casualty Resolution Center, or JCRC, located at Nakhon Phanom, Thailand, under the command of Brigadier General Robert C. Kingston. JCRC's sole mission was to assist the secretaries of the armed services to resolve the fate of servicemen still missing and unaccounted for as a result of hostilities throughout Indochina. Now, the JCRC had a predominantly operational role, the carrying out of field search, excavation, recovery, and repatriation activities. Now, he was promoted to colonel in 1975 and returned to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as the commander of the U.S. Army's Special Warfare School.
Now, they changed the name of Fort Bragg. For some reason, but that's not for me to go into.
Now, although Beckwith had presented proposals throughout the 60s for a superbly elite, highly autonomous direct action unit, the idea had sat on the shelf for decades. Finally, in the mid-70s, as the threat of international terrorism became imminent, Beckwith was appointed to form his unit. Now, during that time, Beckwith was forming his unit. Counterterrorism duties fell to the Special Forces community. The 5th Special Forces group quickly formed the Counterterrorism Unit Blue Light to fill in until Delta was fully operational. Now, the first Special Forces Operation Detachment Delta was the establishment on 17th of November of 1977 by Beckwith and Colonel Thomas M. Henry as counter-terrorism units based on a model of the British Special Air Services, but with greater focus on hostage rescue in addition to covert operations and specializing in reconnaissance. Beckwith led Delta Force's first mission, Operation Eagle Claw. Now, the assault on the captured American embassy in Tehran early in 1980. Now, the mission was aborted due to helicopter failures during a sandstorm and a subsequent crash, which led to several deaths.
Now, back up a little bit, little backstory on that one. Beckwith had gotten everybody handpicked for this mission. All the pilots for those helicopters were then replaced by higher-ups in other agencies other than the ones they had trained, because everybody wanted to have their fingers in the pie and take responsibility for the big win in rescuing the embassy hostages. And because they did that, the untrained and uninitiated pilots weren't there. One of the reasons why they had so many problems with the helicopters and why it led to the failure of the mission.
You let your bosses take control and everything is foobarred. Now, after the debacle in the desert, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment was formed to provide aviation support to Delta Force and other special operation units. JSOC was also formed directly based on Beckwith recommendations during Senate investigations into the mission's failures. Now, Beckwith was married to Catherine Beckwith, and they had three daughters. One daughter, Constance Connie Howe, is a former United States Army Reserve major and married to Delta Force Master Sergeant Paul R. Howe, who fought in the Battle of Mogadishu in 1993, the whole Black Hawk Down situation. His granddaughter, United States Air Force Technical Sergeant Mary Howe, now Danielle, is an aerial gunner
on the 4th Special Operations Squadron. A second daughter, Margaret Kazmarinsky, served as an Army captain in the Judge Advocate General's Corps, or JAG, and her son, Captain Zachary Kazmarinsky, graduated from West Point in 2017. Following his disappointment at the failure of the Iranian operation, Beckwith retired from the Army. He started a consulting firm and wrote a book about Delta Force. In 1994, he died at his home of natural causes. Beckwith's remains are interred at Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery in San Antonio, Texas. Nothing could take this guy down other than natural causes itself. He was truly 100% a badass. Hey, thanks everybody for listening to our Badass of the Week from GunsInThe701.com. Every week we try to give you a new badass from history, and it ain't always easy. So, if you got time to click on the little QR code up in the corner, you can check out our website, buy some of our merch at GunsInThe701.com. You can even donate us a little money if you got it. Just something to spare. $5, $10, $15, how about $20,000? Hey, I need a new studio. My studio is underneath a bathroom right now, and every time my wife flushes, it sounds like a torrent of water is pouring into my microphone. Anyway, I'm just saying, if you happen to be really rich and want to write it off on your taxes, that's a good idea. Anyway, check out GunsInThe701.com every Wednesday on all your social media platforms and at GunsInThe701.com. Don't forget about 701 Nation, JD's spinoff show with some great stuff as well. And we got that coming up bi-monthly as well. And if you got someone that you want us to talk about in the Badasses segment, well, you can always do that by emailing us, guns@gunsinthe701.com. That's GUNSANDTHE701.com. As always, keep your powder dry and stay safe.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're back.
Yeah, man. Flip that microphone down. There you go.
Listening to that, man, it makes me feel like I've even accomplished less in life than I already have. So that guy's unbelievable. I couldn't imagine doing that many things in life. And wow. Yeah. Actually, I think Paul Howe, I think he's like a gun writer, actually. His son-in-law there? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was, his son?
Yep.
Yeah.
Son-in-law.
Yeah, I think he's a gun writer for – unbelievable, though. That, great job, Mike. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah, and when you get into stuff with the guys like that, it's so hard to limit what you talk about because you literally could do a 45-minute show, and I know we don't have all that time and stuff. Like, we want to kind of keep it down to – 10 minutes, 12 minutes, you know, less. But he's a hell of a guy. And I'll tell you what, like I said, the only thing that could take him down is natural causes, his death itself. So that guy, you know, he was written off, literally written off with no tags and everything, you know, twice.
Yeah.
So, that guy
still
amazing.
came back.
But we do appreciate everybody that likes that.
Definitely a badass right there. So,
yep. I got a couple of I'm working on right now. I'm like, I think we're good for about 3 weeks right now. So I got some time to work on some stuff. So we've got a couple of people. I've got a great guy out of Chile from the 15th century that's coming up in a couple of weeks too. I'm not going to give away the story on it. It's a pretty awesome story. But yeah, we do appreciate everybody for tuning in for that. And don't forget, we'll post that again tomorrow on all our social media sites again, so you can share it out there by itself. GunsInThe701.com's Badass of the Week. And we do appreciate. And so talk a little bit about what's going on with 701 Nation, what you got planned coming up in the next couple
weeks. Yeah, yeah. So I tried something different. You know, we used to be able to do the poll on Facebook, and for whatever reason, they sniped that on us from being able to do it. And I found a deal to try a poll. I did it. You can go on our Facebook page. I don't know if I put it on X or not. I didn't. You can definitely get it on Facebook. It'll take you to the link.
Right.
And the poll question was, how confident are you at shooting offhand at a deer, hitting it in the kill zone inside of 200 yards? And I got it going down in, quarter increments, 100, 75, 50. So we're gonna go over that, and really, if your percentage is too low, what you think, is it even ethical to give it a go if you see one out there?
Yeah, I mean, other than that, you're just flinging lead willy nilly.
Well, then what? You hit it in the ass or you hit it in the stomach, and then they take. I initially, here's what I'm gonna do, Mike. Initially, I thought to myself, you know, I'm about 75%, and I'm talking the kill zone on a deer is about a 10. So if you got a 10-inch steel gong,
right,
hang that sucker out there at 200. And I don't care if you use scope or irons, do whatever you want, or if you want to stand freehand or kneel down, you just can't prone out. Prone out's not offhand.
Right.
You know, hold the and see if you can hit it. So what I'm going to do is, if I haven't decided if I'm going 50 or 75, but if I do hit 75, I'll promise you I'll go and I'll test myself, and I won't I won't cut nothing out. I might go, I might go 0-for-4, baby, but you know, and I might go 4-for-4, but we're going to see. I'll do it. I'll honestly do it, because I'm fairly confident at 200 yards hitting a 10 inch, circle gong. You know, I had the video there a while back at 250, and that was a one shot deal, but that doesn't happen every time either. But yeah, go on there, go on Facebook, take that test. I don't think you can go right on their website. It's called Pole. Boy, what the heck is the name of this thing again?
Oh, I know. I did it earlier, so yeah, I know.
Yeah. You got it there. It's pollmaker.com, and I don't have a name for it. So I'm just gonna try it on Facebook. If that works, we're gonna do it. So I think we're gonna have a good discussion about that tomorrow. Everybody's got their opinion on their own marksmanship, and like I said, we're gonna talk about if you suck on your own opinion, should you really be shooting, especially like a moving deer, right?
Oh yeah.
And then this one here will get people fired up too. What is the ugliest? The ugliest in the word Doc Holliday. What an ugly rifle cartridge. What's the ugliest rifle cartridge you get? And I'm talking like a common one. Don't give me this. Oh, JD, you know, you've never seen the 7.895x62 Carcano from 19. You're right, I did. And I'm talking mainstream cartridges. I got mine. Clay's not going to be happy with it. That's going to be mine. And then we're going to, you know, if we got time, we're going to add in there, you know, what's the most appealing one to your eye. And after that, we're going to hit on why pest control management is important for upland game birds. Okay, because everybody knows, you know, taking care of the coyote population for deer, fawns, and that.
Right.
And this is kind of, and some people do know about this. And my buddy's talked to me about it before. He's a big upland game man. But I ran across a story, and it kind of, I think it'd be something good to talk about. And since I'm going to do a happy ending too, there's so many happy endings. Awesome. I'm going to bust a happy ending out, right? Because man, there's so many happy endings. Never. Self-defense is what we're talking about with happy endings.
Right.
In case nobody knows, they never get enough love in the media. So I wouldn't mind if we did it on every one of our live streams.
Yeah, and you guys
are kind of doing it on Mitchell's show now on Fridays, right?
Yeah, we're doing it on Fridays now.
But you call it something different, Clay said.
Yeah, people got a little upset about the happy ending thing. Apparently, the church people were a little upset about that. So yeah,
happy ending for them is you get to see Jesus.
You know, I had to edit a commercial up years ago. And the salesperson had went out, and it was for a retirement home in Storla. It's not there anymore. And they brought me all this raw audio back to piece together, to put together for commercials, to, you know, testimonials, why people love living at that home. And the one poor little old lady, she was like, "I'm just waiting for Jesus to come and get me." I said, and I'm like going, no, that's Jesus, and he's an orderly. He'll be here in a minute.
Jesus. So. I remember when I was younger, and I still don't know Spanish worth a damn, and I don't care that I don't. But I remember when I seen her calling this guy Jesus in a movie, and I'm like, his name's Jesus.
It's right on the thing.
Yeah, a horror movie or something. But so one quick thing, Mike. I tell you what, we all heard Joe Biden, right? Now him and Trump are going to debate, right?
Yeah, two times, one in June and one in September.
So here's the first thing I thought of when I heard him come out and say, "Yeah, we're going to do it, man, and make my day." Right? So we got a guy who doesn't support law enforcement, Joe Biden, right?
Right.
Who hates guns, and then he references a movie where a cop uses a gun to take out a freaking shit stain.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, and it's true. It's just it's going to be a mess. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a messy thing, but you know, leading up to it, we'll wait and see. I mean, in all actuality, I don't think that that Biden can really stand up to the criticism that he's going to get from Trump, because guys like that don't like criticism. I mean, mm-hmm. they don't take it well. And you know, I don't think Trump takes criticism very well either, but no. I think he can dish it out. That's the thing. You know, whether he can take it or not, it's not going to matter. It's like getting into a verbal battle with a DJ. I mean, we cut much better with our voices than we do with anything else. So, you know, it's, you come up with a quick wit.
So let me ask you this, Mike. Did you watch, so when they debated there in 2020, did you watch any of the debates?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I caught a lot of flack for saying this, and I'm just going to repeat it. And I don't know if you remember the first debate or not. In my opinion, this is one of the big reasons Trump lost.
Right.
I mean, you can bring up cheating and everything else, but I think this is where he lost a lot of the middle. And when he did that first debate with Joe Biden, and he constantly was interrupting him, and I'm like sitting there, I remember clear as day watching it right up here in my basement.
He doesn't like anybody else to have the microphone. It's just the way it is.
I'm like, would you just shut your freaking mouth? The guy's going to freaking cut his own throat. Just shut up. You look like a complete asshole. Mm-hmm. And I went to work and my boss and a couple other guys were like, yeah, I mean, he didn't do himself any favors. I said, you know, he lost a bunch of support. Not from me. I mean, I don't care what he did, but it actually, and as much as I supported Trump, that annoyed me. I'm like, dude, just shut up. Because Biden was just over there laughing, and he would say his thing, and then Trump would interrupt him. He'd just smile, and I'm like, I think he knew. He's like, yeah, this guy's he's hurting himself. I don't want him to do that crap.
I've seen some people on some local election stuff around here, and I remember in last election cycle, and I knew one of the guys, and I knew that if the one candidate would just slightly jab at him, that he would go off on a tangent. And he would make himself look like a fool because he is one of these guys that can't stand to have anybody impugn him in any way. So he's got to go, and he can't keep his train of thought, and he just went rambling on, and he looked like a fool. So, you know, that's the thing. And he's going to try to do the same thing again. And that's probably, you know, we'll see how it works, but you know, it's neither one of them are young. Neither one of them, you know,
but I mean, Trump is, every once in a while, Biden gets fired up. I don't know if they put that big horse vitamin thing up his rear end or whatever they do to him to get him.
That's not a government job I want.
You know, from the Disney movie where they put that big, I think it was a big red thing up that the horse's.
You made me clinch when you said that.
Yeah. Ted Danson was in it. And so Brian Wanner says, Clay and Buck said today that the Biden administration wants dead mics until the candidate is asked a question. Yeah, I did hear that. I do watch Clay and Buck, Brian. I think they did say that. And of course, you know, Fox News, listen, they're not as, you know, conservative as they used to be. I watch them. They're pretty much a, you know, conservative channel. But yeah, they did. No, there's not one. It's on CNN and whatever other channel it's on. Yeah, right. Lynette says here too, let Biden talk. Agreed. I mean, man, it's bad deal. I mean, it sucks. Doug, there's no vitamin. Okay, they inject him with some synthetic steroids or whatever gets him going. Or they bring up gun control on him, and he gets pretty fired up too, and kind of gets his senses going again.
Right. Well, you know, we're waiting to see. I mean, it's gonna be a thing leading up to that. We're waiting to see on that right now. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, we've talked earlier about how they, you know, they use poll numbers and this and that, and and you know, someone, you know, Haley is not even in the campaign, and she took 20% away from Trump. And I'm like going, that's still 80%. I'll take 80% in anything. I mean, that's not even, I mean.
And a bunch of those will end up voting for him anyways. Because
it's just primaries. I mean, you look at it, it's just primaries. I mean, it's just the way it is. So, yeah, it just baffles me sometimes. So
Doug, he's a puppet. He is a puppet, Doug. I agree. Biden's just like the face of the machine. The Democrats have a machine. And I think Brian's talking about Clay and Buck. They might have hit on this today, too. Mm-hmm. The Republicans focus in on like one person, and Democrats are like the Chinese. They're just like, we'll just hang in there in the long run. We'll get them in the long run because these people are so ideological, and they get mad at each other and get in a circle and start blasting. So
I can't believe that they've held on to the Kamala Harris thing for the next election. I really thought that they'd find a way that she would have to step down or something like that, because I mean, she is a losing horse on anything. I mean, no matter how bad their side is, I mean, that's a losing horse right there. And really, Trump doesn't need to pick a vice president until – remember my history lessons and back in the 1800s and stuff like that when the vice president was whoever came in second?
Yeah.
Could you imagine Trump winning and having Biden as his vice president? So,
that'd actually be fun to watch.
That'd be a different one right there. That'd be kind of different.
Well, Trump even said it himself on Clay and Buck's show. He said, realistically, the vice president doesn't really affect the polls. He said, you have one big day when you announce and everybody loves it or hates it. And then after that, nobody cares until he goes, if I'm president, he said, and I die, then they'll care. So
yeah.
He goes, it's more to him. He said, it's more about getting somebody who can actually take over and run the country efficiently than.
Well, that's when you look at it, though. Boom. I mean, she's not that old, but I mean, I don't picture Biden lasting to what he'll be 85. 86, I think, when the next. I don't picture him lasting. Well, hell,
I can wheel him around like they did FDR, I guess.
Just take all the photographs from the waist up. That's fine. There you go. Oh, speaking of that, and we only got a little bit more time left. Speaking of from the waist up, I never got a chance last week to hit on this, but I'm glad you're here to appreciate is that. I just want to talk to you about North Dakota's rookie numbers right now. We apparently the OnlyFans, the fourth state, state of OnlyFans contributors. That's right, creators is North Dakota. So what I'm thinking is that means like one out of five people you know right now is probably creating something online, and I personally,
we're some entrepreneurs up here, ain't we?
You guys are the entrepreneurs working hard up there in those cold those cold periods of time right there.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I can't remember, it's one or two gals that in the saddle store that were on OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, I told Clay, I says, we need to get on there. I says, I'll go topless. That's fine. But we'll... as long as I don't go chapless, I guess, but we'll go on there because it's an untapped market for us. I mean, sure. I mean, think about it. We can say whatever we want to say on there. So, a lot of comedians are getting on OnlyFans because they're getting censored from YouTube and different other stuff. So, they're getting their money taken away, monetization. Through the Facebook and YouTube. So they're going to OnlyFans. And I'm thinking it's actually a brilliant idea. Sure, you know your audience. They're on there. You know, they're paying to be there. And I'm like, well, yeah, sure.
Apparently a lot of lonely gentlemen up here in North Dakota. So
no, like, I don't think so. I think it's just, I think you got, well, obviously, Hawaii, number three. I mean,
Colin, I know. Okay, you
guys
got
are
only there.
A point. You guys are a point and point know. Six.
I guess we got a lot of perverts up here in North Dakota. I guess.
Well, it's an entrepreneurship. I mean, it's money's money. In all honesty, when I was younger, if I had the body that I could go to the strip club and work for a weekend and make a little cash, look, I'd probably do that.
I gotta be honest with you, Mike. I'd probably have been there with you.
Yeah, but nobody wants to see this.
No, me nobody either. Me either. now it's too late. But yeah. So before we go, speaking of shotguns and Joe Biden, because that's his fate. Buy a shotgun. Axe and I, if you own a .38 Special or a .357 Mag, Axe and I actually did a pretty cool freaking test with into gel and into a big like full Arizona tea can and the man size silhouette with the 357 shotgun shot shell rounds, and man, that penetrated in the gel 5-6 inches, and that tea, if you got a rattlesnake that, because what, 3-4 yards probably is what you're gonna get close to, that thing will smoke a rattles. And I know they make the same thing in 9mm and 10mm. So I think we're going to get some of that and try that out in the future test. But
I was watching your face when the ballistics gels were being hit in the Badass of the Week this week.
That was awesome. Yeah.
It's like that.
That was freaking awesome. Yeah, that just vaporized. That was like an artillery shell.
That was an artillery shell, yeah. So that's what I think of when you get hit by a 50 cal.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway. So anyway, yeah, that's what we got going. And again, well, let's just, we'll go through the whole spiel. Clay put up there. He wants us to hit it again. You bet. Like we said at the beginning of the show, Mandan Sporting Goods, new location, start grand opening June 1st, 206 4th Avenue Northwest, two blocks north of Runnings off of Main Street there. They're going to be opening up. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you and Clay can work something out with Todd and mention that or something there on that yep. Friday, because you're going to be in the 31st you're going to be on.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
Yep. Yep, and Bloodline Kinetics, again, we're going to be doing some giveaways. We're not sure how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to be doing it on 701 Nation, and Mikey D and Clay and the boys are going to be doing it on Guns in the 701, giving away free barrel threadings, right? Like I said, I don't know how many or when we're going to do it or how we're going to do it, but I'm going to talk to Jake tomorrow, get a little update on the Model 701 rifles he's building for Clay and I as well. And we'll get those out and we'll give you guys a heads up in advance. So if you're one of these part-time people who don't watch a show every week and you want to try and get on and get you to win yourself a free barrel threading. And again, right, Deacons, where can we get some good, where can we get a good graduation gift for the Second Amendment hunter, shooter, young man or young woman?
Here? Mandan Sports, of course, you can go there. And don't forget, they got the new location coming up in June. We're talking about our good friend Axel over, of course, at Lawler Auto Repair. Of course, you just really want to check them out as well. And of course, our good friends over at Double H.
Right on. Daryl's got the gift certificates at Double H. Brandon's got them at Mandan Sporting Goods. Get in there and get it done, man. And if you buy a gun or you buy a knife or anything you want, maybe you get yourself a nice tumbler, take it over. Talk to Jake at Bloodline. He's got the laser going, man. He can engrave anything you want with that.
I remember a while back, I got a knife done for my son when he was 15. I got a done for him with his name on it and everything like that. Oh, he loves that thing. He's got more knives than cat's got lives. But yeah, he's got them all over. But he always got that one nearby, so he loves that one. So I appreciate that.
Man, I thought last time I was in there, Jake was actually talking about making knives. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to check on that tomorrow. And if you guys tune in tomorrow for 701 Nation, I'm going to be on 8 o'clock tomorrow, Central, 8 p.m. Central. I'll let you know if Jake's doing that, but I'm pretty sure he was. He was showing me some stuff, but he's got a lot of stuff going. He got tons of machinery that, I mean, it looks like remember the end of the Terminator, the first movie, and all the machines? Yeah, he's got all the machines going in there, and he knows how to run every one of them. So,
yeah, I got to do some campaigning with my wife tomorrow, but what I do is I put one earphone in while we're driving around, and I got it down in my lap. I got the phone with the streaming you, so we'll be good.
I appreciate that. That's awesome, man. Well, Lynette said she's laughing so hard right now. We were talking about the OnlyFans thing going on there. So.
Hey, you know what? You got to go where the money is sometimes. That's how it is. Equipment's not cheap. I was like, I've been putting new stuff on my walls. I've been getting new sound on my walls and stuff like that. And my son put some stuff up in the ceiling. I got some stuff right now. So we've got these old panels and whatnot to put up there. Cause when my wife will be going, usually about 8:39, she'll start heading to the restroom,
You got her soundproof now.
I got a little soundproof, so it's not so bad anymore.
It definitely sounds different from when you first came on. And look, I like that. You got the good look going there in the back.
Yeah, I got some more stuff ordered that it's going to take over some of the corners and kind of chew up some of the sound as well.
And I'd also say, speaking of future episodes here, Mike, the people that are already mad at me calling me a rhino and whatnot, a FUD. Talking to Julie Fedorchuk's, I was texting today with Julie's campaign manager. I'm maybe going to have Julie Fedorchuk on. So, and hey, listen, I texted Clay today. I said, what's up with Becker? Because I know Clay and I had him on the radio show. We had him on the live stream. Becker was one of our first guests when we started it. And hey, Clay said he's contacted him. He ain't heard nothing back. So that's on Rick, man. That isn't on me. I'm not stopping. I want Rick Becker to come on. Yeah. I want Rick on here. So, and if I get, if Julie comes on here, that's good.
That's the thing is that if you're afraid to come on, I mean, we're not the Joe Rogan numbers right now. We'd love to be, but we're not there yet. But we'll get there someday. Oh, nice mug. But one of the things is that if you're afraid to come on with us, come on, you're not going to be able to go up and move up in your position. I mean, we do not ask soft questions, but at the same time, we're not antagonistic. So, I mean, we are all about what we talk about. I mean,
and I think that's one of the, you know, when Clay and I had Alex on or whatever, you guys weren't hard enough on him. What do you want me to do? Be an asshole? I'm not going to be an asshole to somebody just because you're mad at because you think he's an FBI plant or whatever the hell other reason.
Yeah, I've been hearing that stuff.
But listen, all kinds of people. I'll tell you right now, in the primary, I'm voting for Alex. If Rick wins that, I'm going to vote for Rick.
Yep.
I'm going to vote for Rick in the primary. So, you know, but I'm more than happy to have Julie on. Or, it, matter of fact, I noticed that Peepcorn's running mate, who's running for governor against our future governor. Mm-hmm. Kelly Armstrong's a freaking good guy, too. He's a real dude. He's not phony. Kelly's a real guy. But Peepcorn's running mate, Pat Hart, actually, my garage, Deke, years ago, we had our garage redone. Yeah. It was Pat Hart and his brother-in-law. I don't think his brother-in-law was a Democrat, but Pat certainly is. They redid my garage. Yeah. And listen, you tune in tomorrow. I can give you some gun what the gun beliefs are. I mean, you're not going to be happy about it with them. Pat was a cool guy, a nice guy, you know, as long as we weren't talking politics. But that's his running mate, Peepcorn's running mate. No. And if, I don't know if Miller thinks – I think Kelly's going to absolutely smash Miller in the primary by probably 25 to 30. He should, because she's got some really slimy ads out there about the guy. It's unbelievable. But I mean, that's campaign season, man. And same with Rick. I mean, if anybody believes these like Rick Becker's open border guy, come on, really? Give me a break with that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's the catchphrases. They, you know, they'll throw the catchphrase, and you know what? We're slamming our own people. That's the thing.
I'm sorry, I was laughing at the comments. Doug said, "I saw him, meaning me, touch a wood gun today. He is a FUD in training." He did get me with that. He's like, "You are turning into a FUD." I was like, "Man, that's nice wood." Brian Warner says, "I really enjoy the Canada guest. Keep it up." Will do, Brian. You bet I will, buddy.
If you want to see Jamie with more wood, then go to our OnlyFans page. That's what we're going to call it. Guns in the 701 and Guns in the 701 Nation with Jamie's Wood.
Guns in the 701 Wood. How's that one?
That's good. I like that.
All right, man. With that, I think we better shut her down here. Guys, I hope you can join me tomorrow night on all that you're watching right now. Same exact outlets here. All the Guns in the 701 social media platforms. I'll be on. But 8 p.m. Central. It's kind of weird getting on to 7 again tonight, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Central. We were talking about 8 p.m. Central. You might have something there about the summer, about switching hours. We might talk about doing that. But, yeah. Going to be on K-Fire coming up about 8:45. I think that is that Mountain Time? 8:45 Mountain Time?
Nope, 8:40 a.m. Central, 7:40 Mountain.
Okay, there we go. So that's coming up on Friday morning. We'll be there, of course, with Mitchell in the morning, and we're talking about some stuff, including whatever we call the happy ending now. I don't know. Hey, you know, as long as I get a happy ending, I really don't care what you call it.
It's a PC ending now.
It's a PC ending. There you go. I don't, as long as I get it, I'm all right. So, we'll have all that going on. Don't forget, we'll look for Badass of the Week being posted tomorrow. We'll post that by midday tomorrow and share that all over the social medias. And give us some comments on what you think about it as well. And we do appreciate it. Of course, we're going over our time a little bit this time. But that's all right. We're good to go. So, I don't know what we hit for the outro on the. Oh, by the way, did you play this yet?
I hit it. I didn't. Let's see.
Ah! Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face. Ah! You don't scare me.
Lauer Auto Repair, located.
Oh, geez. All right.
Yeah, Clay's actually got that. He put that in there for the. For when I do that for 701 Nation. I did. We did use that. I actually used that last week when Congressman Armstrong was on.
I got some more stuff for you that I'm working on right now, so we'll work on that.
Awesome, man.
Other than that, I don't know how to really exit with this because I don't know.
I'm going to hit it right now, Mike. You hit it. You hang on. All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for hanging in there.
Thank you,
had fun filling in here for Vance and Clay. Good time with Mikey D. We'll see you, JD. I'll see you tomorrow night. And listen to Deacons and Clayton Friday on Mitchell in the Morning, 8:40 a.m. See you guys tomorrow, and keep your powder dry.